Mind and Body Reset, Modern Wellness Decoded. Science-backed wellness made simple.
What if the key to unlocking a deeper level of wellness wasn't found in a futuristic lab, but in the ancient wisdom of the earth itself, in the plants that have been growing alongside us for millennia?
That question, it really gets to the heart of it, doesn't it? For me, this is a deeply personal topic. I grew up with a grandmother who had a remedy for everything that came straight from her garden. A certain leaf for a sting, a specific flower for a headache. And I'll be honest, for a long time, I just saw it as folklore. Comforting, but not real medicine.
But now you're wondering if there was more to it.
Exactly. I'm wondering what she knew, what generations before her knew, that we might have forgotten.
And that's precisely the journey we're embarking on today. Welcome, everyone. We're here to explore the power of herbal medicine, tapping into nature's pharmacy for wellness. This isn't just about folklore or old traditions, though we'll certainly honor that history.
Right. It's also about what modern science is beginning to understand about these incredible plants. We're going to be separating fact from fiction, looking at the evidence, and really digging into how these natural remedies can fit into a modern, balanced approach to health.
We'll be talking to experts who have dedicated their lives to studying this intersection of nature and science. And we'll hear some truly transformative stories from people who found profound healing by, well, by looking in their own backyards in a way.
It's a conversation about reconnecting, I think. Reconnecting with nature, and maybe with a more intuitive way of caring for ourselves. So, let's begin. Let's step into nature's pharmacy.
And that's the thing, isn't it? When we talk about reconnecting, we're not just talking about a few generations. We're talking about a thread that runs through millennia. You look at ancient Indian texts, the Vedas, and they mention treating diseases with plants. In Indonesia, the Jamu tradition might go back 1,300 years.
1,300? Wow. That puts my grandmother's garden into perspective. It wasn't just her knowledge. It was an echo of something ancient. I mean, were these just simple, you know, use this leaf for that ailment type of recipes?
Some were, but many were incredibly complex systems. Take Ayurvedic medicine in India. You're not just looking at one plant for one symptom. You're looking at formulas with 30 or more ingredients, all chosen to balance the body's entire system.
30 ingredients? Goodness. So it's less like taking an aspirin, and more like retuning an entire orchestra.
That's a perfect way to put it. It's a holistic view. And it wasn't just in India. In China, you have this incredibly rich documented history that they are still deconstructing with modern science. The Nobel Prize-winning anti-malarial drug, artemisinin?
Yeah.
That was extracted by Tu Youyou in the 70s from sweet wormwood, which was a traditional Chinese treatment for fevers. The answer was there all along, just waiting for a modern lens.
That's incredible. But it begs the question, how did they know? Without labs, without clinical trials, how did they discover that wormwood helps with fevers, or that these 30 specific ingredients in India work together?
Well, a lot of it was meticulous observation passed down through generations. But there's another fascinating theory, something called zoopharmacognosy.
Zoopharma. What now? Say that again?
Zoopharmacognosy. It's a long word for a simple idea, animal self-medication. Many indigenous healers claim they learned by watching sick animals.
You're kidding. You mean, like watching a sick chimpanzee go and find a specific plant to eat?
Precisely that. Field biologists have seen it. A sick animal will change its diet, deliberately seeking out bitter herbs they would normally ignore. And these herbs are often rich in compounds like alkaloids and tannins.
Which, I'm guessing, do something useful.
They do. They're known to help purge intestinal parasites. For example, the animals instinctively knew what to find in their pharmacy.
So it's not just human wisdom we've lost touch with. It's a kind of planetary wisdom. a knowledge that's embedded in nature itself, that we just learn to pay attention to.
That changes how I think about this completely.
It really does. And it forces us to ask a difficult question. If this wisdom was so embedded, so intuitive, where did it go? Why did we stop listening? We built this incredible system of modern medicine, which is a miracle in so many ways, but it feels like in the process, we unplugged ourselves from that older system.
We traded one for the other. And I get why. If you have a raging infection, you want an antibiotic. Not a poultice. But hearing you talk about this, it feels like we threw the baby out with the bathwater. We gained precision, but we lost that holistic view.
Exactly that. And that's the central challenge we face now. How do you take that orchestra, that complex multi-ingredient Ayurvedic formula, or even just a single plant with hundreds of compounds, and study it with a scientific method that's designed to isolate one single variable?
Right. The double-blind, placebo-controlled trial, the gold standard. How do you even begin to apply that to chamomile tea?
It's incredibly difficult. Because modern pharmacology is built on the idea of a single molecule hitting a single receptor, a silver bullet. But herbal medicine is more like a shotgun blast of dozens of different compounds, all working in subtle ways. Some might be anti-inflammatory, others might be calming the nervous system, others might be helping with digestion, all at once.
So if you isolate just one of those compounds from the chamomile, you might not see any effect at all.
Or you might see a much weaker effect. It's a concept called synergy, the idea that the whole plant is greater than the sum of its parts. The other compounds, the ones we might dismiss as inactive, are actually helping the main active ingredient work better. They might help it get absorbed more easily or buffer its side effects.
Okay, that makes sense. It's like eating a whole orange versus just taking a vitamin C tablet. You're missing out on the fiber, the flavonoids, all the other things that make an orange.
That is the perfect analogy. And it's why so many herbal studies come back with messy or inconclusive results. We're using the wrong tools to measure the effect.
But that also feels a little dangerous, doesn't it? If we can't measure it properly, how do we know it's safe? How do we know the right dose? If I buy St. John's wort from one company, is it the same as the one from the company next to it on the shelf?
And that is the other side of the coin, a massive, massive challenge. Regulation, standardization, quality control, it's a bit of a wild west out there sometimes.
So what do you even look for? I mean, if you can't trust that the science is capturing the full picture, and you can't always trust that the product on the shelf is what it says it is, where does that leave you?
It leaves you in a place of empowerment, actually. It sounds counterintuitive, I know, but it forces you to move from being a passive consumer to an active participant in your own health. It means you can't just blindly grab a bottle off the shelf. You have to do a little homework.
So instead of just trusting the label, you have to, what? Look for brands that do third-party testing? Talk to a trained herbalist or a naturopathic doctor?
That's a huge part of it. Looking for certifications, for companies that are transparent about where their plants come from and how they're processed. It's about seeking out the wisdom, not just the product. And it's also about starting with the things that have a long, long history of safe use and good evidence. Things like ginger for nausea or peppermint for digestion.
You start simple. You don't try to retune the entire orchestra on day one.
You learn to play one note perfectly first. And you listen. You pay attention to how your body responds. That's the piece of ancient wisdom we can all reclaim right now without any special equipment. Simple, direct observation.
It's funny. We've come full circle in this conversation. We started by talking about this lost connection, this ancient wisdom we forgot. And it seems the path back isn't about rejecting science, but about integrating it with a more personal, intuitive approach.
That, for me, is the entire point. It's not a battle between a lab coat and a leaf. The future, I think, is where they work together. Where we can use science to understand the how and why behind these plants, but use that older, holistic wisdom to understand how to apply it to the whole person.
I have to admit, I still feel a little cautious. I love the idea, but the Wild West aspect you mentioned is daunting. There's a part of me that just wants the certainty of a prescription.
And that's a completely valid feeling. That certainty is one of the miracles of modern medicine. I don't think this path is about abandoning that. It's about expanding the toolkit. It's about asking, could a cup of chamomile tea at night improve my sleep enough that maybe I won't need something stronger down the line? It's about adding gentle, supportive tools, not necessarily replacing the heavy-duty ones.
Adding tools. I like that. It feels less like a leap of faith and more like building a broader foundation for wellness. So, when I think about what we've discussed, from animal self-medication to the challenges of modern studies, the biggest thing I'm taking away is this idea of synergy. Not just the synergy within the plant, but the synergy between ancient traditions and modern understanding.
And the synergy between our bodies and the natural world. It's been a fascinating journey today, stepping back into that pharmacy. Thank you, as always, for exploring it with me.
And thank you to everyone listening. We hope this conversation has planted a seed or two. I know for me, I'm going to go look at my own garden a little differently from now on. Take care, everyone.